Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 20th of March. Before we start our conversation on middle schools the first hour, we're still trying to reach one of our guests. Let me tell you that we have a fun day planned at Milwaukee's IMAX Theater. We're inviting you to bring your children, your grandchildren for a special day of discovery and exploration at the Milwaukee Public Museum and the IMAX Theater on Sunday, April 1st. We're going to have a VIP reception. We'll be touring all of the museum's exhibits and displays and then meeting up for a screening of the IMAX movie Deep Sea, which is an underwater tour featuring some of the planet's unique, colorful, and fascinating creatures. So I invite you to join me. Rhonda Fanning will be there, other public radio staff, for what should be a wonderful afternoon. We'll have some fun talking to each other and we'll learn a few things as well. Sunday, April 1st at the IMAX Theater in Milwaukee. For tickets and information, call 414-227-2047. That's 414-227-2047. And I hope to see you there. That's on April 1st, coming up pretty darn soon. All right. The New York Times had a front page story on Sunday that caught our attention, titled "The Critical Years for Teachers, Middle School is a Test of Wills." It says in small part, faced with increasingly well-documented slumps in learning at a critical age, educators in New York and across the nation are struggling to rethink middle school, particularly in cities where the challenges of adolescent volatility, spiking violence, and lagging academic performance are more acute. As they do so, they're running up against a key problem, a teaching corps marked by high turnover and often lacking expertise in both subject matter and the topography of the adolescent mind. The turnover rate for middle school teachers is higher than for elementary school teachers or high school teachers. We have two guests with us to address this issue, and I just have a feeling we're going to be flooded with phone calls on this. I think this is an area in education that we overlook, and I think by the number of phone calls and by what we'll learn this hour, we'll find out that we have overlooked this. Our phone number for our guests is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. For you to join the conversation. Our guests are Dr. Peggy Gaskill, who is research chair of the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform. It's an alliance of educators, researchers, and others who are seeking to improve middle school education. Peggy Gaskill, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Pleased to be here.
Yeah, very nice to have you here. And we'd like to have you meet as well, Mary Washbush. And Mary is a former middle school teacher. She is currently the literacy coach for Morris Middle School. I happen to know her because we did a lot of forensics work together. I did a lot of judging and coaching of forensics. So I happen to know Mary. She's a terrific coach. Mary, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
And we will welcome your phone calls in just a moment. I'm sure that both of you saw this New York Times article on Sunday. Let me just get your general reaction to this. Have we prepared teachers for middle school? Do we understand the adolescent mind? Or is this an age group that we have pretty much overlooked and concentrated more on elementary school and on high school? Peggy, you want to start?
Certainly. I believe that we definitely understand who young adolescents, as we call them, happen to be. That's usually between the ages of 10 and 15. But we haven't transferred that into our teacher education classrooms. Too often, and, you know, I'll give you my own personal example. This is my 43rd year as an educator.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm quite proud of it. I do occasionally mention it, but I asked to teach in a junior high school in those days, and my state said, you can get an elementary certificate or you can get a secondary certificate. And I learned how to teach in the area of mathematics, high school geometry. But I got a job in a middle grade school, which is where I wanted to be. And I really felt that I was learning on the job. And today there are many more opportunities for specific preparation for the middle grades and information that we know about young adolescents, but we're still making the same offer to our young people, particularly in my state. You can get an elementary certificate or a secondary. And the middle school work or the middle grades work has primarily been an add-on, except in a few of the very forward-thinking states who have made it a requirement to teach in a middle grades classroom.
Mm-hmm. What's the story in Wisconsin, Mary? Do we have teachers who are special teachers for middle school or not?
Under the new PI 34 licensing, there are middle school specialists, but that's only been in effect for about 2 years, 3 years at the most. Most of the teachers that are in buildings now, especially in urban areas, are coming out of programs that haven't fully implemented that yet. So their background with adolescent psychology and adolescent development is really not as diverse as it should be.
Mm-hmm. And Peggy, when you look at what's going on with these young people with psychology, with body development, with, oh my gosh, I think this is the most difficult age to teach, and there is so much going on intellectually and physically.
Well, absolutely. We see that there's more, as much growth in this age range as there is from about birth to 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So there are tremendous learning opportunities for students, but I'm afraid that we as educators aren't sure how to channel some of those energies and the curiosities that they do have, because mm-hmm. it doesn't fit, if you will, the mold of how we thought we should be teaching.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is it, I'd like both of your opinions on this, why is it that we haven't really trained teachers for this important time of young development? What's gone wrong here? Mary?
I think that while we know what adolescents are like, I think the focus has always been on younger students, and if we hook them into learning when they're first, second, third graders, that they'll have the skills needed to make it through middle school and high school. And what we're finding, I think, is that kids today are not the same as they were 20 years ago. Their
right.
experiences are different. Their backgrounds are different. How they acquire information is different than how the teachers in front of them acquired information. And we often teach the way we were taught, and we need to change that. And with middle schoolers, they are bundles of energy. They are dynamic learners, and they are itching to learn. But you have to be willing to allow them to experiment in really safe ways so that they can, you know, go out and do research and then come back and apply that and not feel that they're putting themselves too far out on a limb.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about academic performance for a moment. Peggy, let me go to you on this. This Times article I referenced at the beginning also cited reading scores going mm-hmm. down from 5th to 6th grade, continuing to slide through 8th grade. Between 1999 and 2004, elementary school students made solid gains in reading and math, while middle school students made smaller gains in math, and they stagnated in reading. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to go back to teacher preparation.
Hmm.
Many of our teachers in middle grades are prepared to teach high school, and not necessarily specifically to teach reading. And yet they're seeing students coming to their middle grade classroom who have deficits in their reading skills, and they're not quite sure what to do with it. Or do we just continue with the language arts curriculum as they knew it? Do we teach the literature and writing and so on when the students are having difficulty with reading? Now, some schools have implemented a reading class in addition to, or they have special programs where they say, you know, reading is so fundamental to everything else, we've got to bring you to this age level, but they're not interested in it. They perhaps don't know what kinds of books that young adolescents like to read, what kinds of experiences they like to have to increase that those skills for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary, you're a literacy coach at Morris Middle School here in Milwaukee. What is that?
I am a support person for teachers. What I do is I help them learn how to help students be better learners in the areas of literacy, which include reading, mm-hmm. writing, thinking, research, inquiry, and oral presentation. And I'll tell you that we've experienced the same sort of things in our building as you're experiencing nationwide. And I really think that the reason for a decrease in reading growth and in math growth has to do with the fact that a lot of the teachers in middle school may be secondary trained and have no background in how to teach reading.
Mm.
And that's been something that we've been focusing on for a year now, making all teachers reading teachers.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, because I know when I went through my teacher prep program, I had 3 weeks on reading development and reading skills.
Mm-hmm.
And what you really need is several courses so that you become expert in teaching literacy skills to students.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found with our math development is that kids can do math, but they may not be able to decipher what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it gets back to that literacy focus of kids need to be readers in every single content area, and all teachers need to be teachers of reading and need to see themselves as teachers of reading.
Well, and I totally agree with Mary that the advantages to a school of having a literacy coach are many, but the first thing is that they all have to take, the entire teaching staff, the entire staff of the school has to take ownership of the skills of reading and communication. And, you know, the PE teacher can no longer say, well, I'm just going to do my thing. They need to be aware of reading and literacy, and everyone needs to own that, to the point where the students are often, you hear some comments from them, well, this is math class. Why are we writing? Why are we reading? But I totally agree with Mary that they have difficulty doing the reading in the content areas, which then impacts those skill areas as well.
Right.
I'm interested in how many teachers choose middle school. A lot of people end up in middle schools, according to this article, because that's where the openings are. But once they get there, I love this quote, middle school is like scotch. At first you try to get it down, and then you get used to it, and then it's all you order. People like this age group once they're there.
That's true, and I think that one of the issues is that our people who are preparing to be teachers have not had the experiences to understand what it is to be in a middle school. And so they may say, well, I'm going to be a third grade teacher, but when it's time to get a job, there's a seventh grade position open, and they take it because it is a job.
Mm-hmm.
And they get there, and they start realizing what it's all about, and they're there for 30 years. I've had any number of teachers over time say, I didn't know what it was, that's where the job was, but now I would never leave it. So how can we give prospective teachers the information about how exciting it is to be with young adolescents? Some of the time, I used to be a professor in an initial teacher preparation program. Some of the time, our 18 to 20-year-old future teachers are too close. They remember what middle school was for them, and maybe it wasn't a good experience.
It's a hard time.
And they went through lots of transitions that were tough themselves, and so they're not quite sure that's where they want to be.
Yeah. But also, we talk about people, once they're there, they love it. They're also, when you look at the number of teachers, and way too many leave the profession after the first year in all grade levels, but more leave in middle school after the first year than high school or elementary school. And the figures are horrible on this, Mary, aren't they? A lot of people just say, that's it, I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah. Our school has a very low teacher turnover rate, but there are teachers who get into a middle school, and it's a lot faster paced. You have 120 to 140 students that you're dealing with a day. Most middle schools are organized in teams, so you're teaching with three other people, and you really have to be willing to work as a team and to be able to get to know the learning styles of all the students that you work with in order to be successful. And you do need to be able to teach a lesson seven different ways to your students five different times during the course of the day, because that's what middle school is about.
Let's welcome phone calls for both our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're talking about middle schools. I think it's pretty well known now that there have been significant slumps in learning at this age. Nations are rethinking middle school. We're looking at different kinds of models for middle school. But we're pointing to the fact that people are not trained to be middle school teachers. They're often trained as elementary school teachers or high school subject specialists. And heavens knows, if you need an understanding of the adolescent mind, I mean, you do need that kind of understanding to teach this age group. We are welcoming phone calls for Peggy Gaskill, who is research chair of the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform. Mary Washbush is also joining us. She's a former middle school teacher. She is still in the middle school environment. She is currently the literacy coach for Samuel Morris Middle School, which is based here in Milwaukee. Okay, to your phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, from the years 1850 to 1930, thousands of young Americans were relocated to rural areas in an attempt to find homes for the urban poor. This was known as orphan trains. I think it's a little known part of American history and a fascinating one. We will have a couple guests with us. One, a woman who wrote a book about her grandmother who was on the orphan train, and also we'll speak with a historian about orphan trains placing out in America. All right, let's go to phone calls now, starting with John from Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, John. How are you?
Good. I really appreciate your program. I listen to it all the time. If I wasn't in college and had more money, I'd donate more.
Thanks, John. We'll hold you to that when you graduate.
First off, very interesting comments by both your guests. I have a family member who's really involved in middle schools, and I myself work with adolescents in the summer through leadership development. And being not too far out of middle school, I've realized that I think there's just a lack of drive and a motivation for a lot of teachers to get in at that level, because it is such a difficult level. I mean, kids are all over the place at that age range, and they're kind of difficult to work with. And I think right now, in terms of lack of funding and lack of motivation, that's a huge issue in retaining and developing middle school teachers.
Peggy, stay with us if you would, John. Peggy?
Yeah.
You want to respond to John?
He's made some accurate statements. It is difficult, particularly when you're not sure of exactly how to get to each child and meet their specific needs, because they come to you with so many different challenges, if you will. One of the primary ways of reaching them is through a different kind of curriculum. And Wisconsin is very fortunate to have some of our middle grades leaders in the area of curriculum within your state, with James Bean and Barbara Brodhagen. And I'm sorry I can't tell you exactly where they're located, but they have programs in their middle grade schools who challenge the students and get them active and interacting with each other around issues of importance to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the skill of the teacher to say, well, we can talk about world cultures as our theme, but I can make sure they get the writing skills. I can make sure they get the math skills, because our life is not anything in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, going class to class all separate is not like life.
Mm.
And middle school kids, young adolescents, want to know about life.
Yes, how true. They really do, in all forms of life. Mary, you want to respond to that as well?
Well, I think that middle school kids are they are real big bundles of energy. They do come with a lot of different backgrounds. They come with a lot of different issues, and teachers are not always trained to handle that. You know, you have coming with different reading levels, different math levels, and then you have all the family issues. You have all of the developmental issues that kids go through from 6th to 8th grade. You know, you look at a 6th grader in the building, and they're very small. They're very they're not real outgoing a lot of the times. And over the course of 3 years with them, you see them develop into these wonderful, fabulous individuals that are just ready to go on into high school. And that's sort of the beauty of middle school. And I think a lot of times, once people get into middle school and they start learning about the students and what they're like, you're never bored.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something new and different. And I know one of the things that we say here is that to be a middle school teacher, you have to be very flexible because you never know what's going to come next.
I'm sure that's
absolutely
true.
Right.
Did you have anything else, John?
No, I agree with both their comments, and very much so in the terms of understanding youth development and having the patience that goes along with it. I think it's very important that teachers develop that training because, I mean, I work as a summer camp counselor, and I can't tell you how much training we've gone into that's been so beneficial in terms of dealing with all of the age range, that goes along with that. I think it's very important.
Yeah,
but thanks very much.
Thank you, John, very much for calling. Peggy, you mentioned the issues that are of importance to them, meaning the middle school students. What are those issues?
Oh, it's sort of two categories. Big world problems like poverty, world cultures, and then things that are personal to them, like my health, my own health and development,
mm-hmm.
Making friends.
Right.
So it spans big picture out in the world because they know that's where I'm going to go someday, and they're very they can be very compassionate and very caring about some of these issues. But again, they know that they're going through all these changes, so they want to know how they can successfully make that adjustment from a child to a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two primary big picture things that they're interested
mm-hmm.
in.
And Mary, it seems to me as though many of the middle school students are... That's a polite way to put this. They're very direct, right? They may ask questions that might be inappropriate if you were a little bit older, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And that's one of the things that is a challenge, and it's a learning. You have to understand that middle school students are grasping to become adults, and yet they're constantly being told that they're children. And it's that dichotomy within them that causes them sometimes to act like 30-year-olds and then try to act like 8-year-olds. And, you know, as I walk down the halls, I have kids say things to me, and it's like, okay, and then how do you respond to that? And it's not with the correction. It's, okay, what did you say? This is what I heard you say. Is that what you meant?
Mm.
And sometimes it's simply getting them to realize that what they said was not – a good way for them to say that because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the background to understand that it's not appropriate for a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old to say, hey, dude, what you doing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what they see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they see. And, so,
and you're being pretty mild with your language here, we may say so.
I realize that we're on the radio.
Yeah, I understand, Mary.
But I think Marianne is correct in that another thing that the students need is that person to run to and to talk to about some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to talk about having adult advocates for every student in our middle grade schools so that they know I can go up and I can talk to Marianne, and she's going to tell me like it is. She's going to help me figure out how I really need to say something so that I don't say incorrect things in my social circle because they're very concerned about the peer pressure issue.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to survive those relationships as well.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. Our guests are Peggy Gaskill, Research Chair of the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform, Mary Washbush, who is a former middle school teacher. She is now the literacy coach for Samuel Morris Middle School based in Milwaukee. It's an MPS school. And we go next to Michael from Madison. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning. I am currently a student at the UW-Madison in the Secondary Education Social Studies program.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, I'm moments away from walking into my student teaching gig at,
oh my.
At a seventh grade history class.
Okay.
and I'm a non-traditional student, so it's been 20 years since I was in a junior high.
Hmm.
So that's been a bit of a transition for me. A couple of comments. Last semester, I spent my student teaching at a high school in the Madison area. This semester, I'm at a junior high, as I've mentioned. And one thing that I've noticed about the junior high experience is that the students seem very more accepting and a little bit more reverent in some ways. You know, they kind of look at you wide-eyed. You know, you're kind of the, you know, the expert. So that's been a good experience for me because, you know, I had, you know, some fears coming in. I'm just learning this profession. They've been very friendly towards me. But as far as some things that I'm now that I'm at the middle school, I'm very excited. I would love to stay and do my, and have a career teaching at the middle school. The two things that I think are going to challenge me in my career, and you've talked about it already, is reading. Mm-hmm. I want to get kids to read more. I don't see kids carrying books around the way that they used to when I was in junior high. And granted, video games have become, I think, a little bit more fun and inviting. The internet, you know, is now taking attention away.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, for one of my courses at the UW on literacy and language across the secondary curriculum, I have to do a research project, and my research project is simply handing out a pretty broad survey to the students, asking them about their reading habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is something that I would like to understand at the ground level before I start working on getting them to read and understanding the benefits that it has, not only to their own enrichment, but also when they get to college or raising their own children to understand the importance of it.
All right, Michael, we'll let you walk into the junior high school to do your teaching. Peggy, what about reading?
Oh, well, I'm going to say to Michael that he needs to read to the students.
Oh.
Yeah.
And get started there and pick some books that are very high interest for them. Now, you might let them help you pick the books from a range of them. I have one teacher friend who teaches Tarzan every year. She calls it her Tarzan unit, and her entire classroom becomes Tarzan's jungle for that period of time. And the students can't wait until they do that. Now, that reading to them encourages them to then read on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you as a teacher can start motivating them with that or with some, I know there are a number of young adolescent literature books that are excellent because they address some of the questions that they have. And I'm sure Mary can give you more ideas, but there's one young adolescent author named Roland Smith who writes about some animals and things like that, and very exciting things for students. And sometimes these authors even have curriculum units prepared for their
books interesting.
That you can use in your classroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mary, you enthusiastically have I've been hearing you. Young people need to read. How do you get them to read?
Well, and in a content area, they need to read not only nonfiction, but they need to know how to read the informational text in front of them.
Mm.
That's one of the most difficult things for adolescents to do. And I'm really glad to hear that the caller had a literature and a literacy and reading class that seems more in-depth than one that I had when I was in my teacher training program. And taking what he learned from that to help his kids understand the informational text that he's using, and then using primary source documents and newspapers with the students, where they can actually read and relate what's happening in their history textbook or social studies textbook to what's going on in the world around them, brings them in. It hooks them into seeing that it's important and it's not dead guys 50,000 years ago.
Right. Right. Thanks very much for your call. We go next to Anne from Milwaukee. Hello, Anne.
Hi. I'm just commenting about your earlier observations that many teachers go into the middle school unprepared. I was one of those. I had my first teaching job out of college in a middle school, and I died. I was so unprepared. And what I think is amazing is that this is many, many years ago. We've known this for a long time, that first-year teachers end up in the middle school. Mm-hmm. So why don't the school system say, well, gee, look, we have a lot of first-year teachers in the middle school. What can we do to support them and help them to make this transition? Why don't they address that directly, first-year teachers
right.
in the middle
sure,
school?
Sure, that makes sense. How long did you stay in?
Oh, God. I had 2 years. The first year was horrendous. The second year was much better. It was a different school. And then I moved and got married and had my own children. Now I do substitute teaching, and I love the middle school. But I just think back on how it's amazing because the issues are so much more complicated. The kids are transitioning, you know, from childhood to the teenage years. And, you know, there's so many more discipline problems, the really overt discipline problems in the middle school that young teachers are just not prepared for. Mm-hmm. And they need someone on a daily basis to be able to go and say, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? How can you come and observe me? Can you help me? And they don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, I would ask you how many of our middle grade leaders have been prepared to be in a middle school as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And
as a leader?
Sometimes it's a gap in their knowledge of who the kids are, but or better yet, how to then bring you along. And I would hope they're all tuned in to a couple of sources. One would be the National Middle School Association, and it's nmsa.org on the website that just has a tremendous number of resources for teachers and teacher leaders, as well as the National Forum, of which I'm an invited member, and that is mgforum.org, including something called Schools to Watch, which is a national program that the Forum has developed to recognize schools that are meeting some of the criteria that we have identified as middle grades advocates for academic excellence, developmental responsiveness, and social equity.
I mean,
and taking some of those resources and bringing it to your school, whether you're a teacher or a school principal, a counselor, whatever your role is, could certainly encourage discussions about what do we need to know and do.
Hello?
Right. Yes, we're here, Ann.
Could I just say that, I mean, ideally, I think that all first-year teachers should have some kind of I don't know what kind of a programmer or someone assigned to them during that first year. But my point is that a lot of first-year teachers, for whatever reason, end up in those jobs in the middle school because that's the only one that's open.
Right.
But
right.
Since our resources are limited, it would be nice if we could just focus on that middle school first-year teacher experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wish could happen.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for Thanks very much, Anne. I think Anne's in school somewhere, or maybe it's Mary's school. You know, I was thinking as everybody was talking initially, well, maybe people need to be 35 years or older in order to teach middle school. But then it's been my observation, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that young people can really relate and respond to young teachers who are not that far out of middle school. If they know their stuff and if they're given support, they can be extremely effective teachers, I think.
I would agree. I think anybody with the caring for the young people and the desire to do what's best for them can be a good middle grade teacher.
Right.
Right, and I would agree. I'm sorry, that is my school.
Oh, it is.
It's the morning announcement.
That's all right. That's all right.
I do agree that anyone with support, and it doesn't really matter on the age, can be a really good middle school teacher. They have to be willing, though, to meet the kids where they are, as all teachers do, but then also be willing to sort of roll with the punches with the kids, because every single day your students are going to come in and they're going to be so different because of the changes that are going on in their bodies. You know, and I would like to address Anne. The support that she's talking about is changing at middle school level. In our middle school, we've had mentoring for about 5 years now for new teachers. And under PI 34, all teachers who are newly licensed do have mentors within the building. So that is something that the state has looked at, and that MPS in particular has looked at, and said, you know, if we want to keep good qualified teachers in the building, we do need to support them and help them learn the skills that they may not have gotten in their teacher preparation program.
Right. Good. That's great news. Let's go to Amber next from Green Bay. Hi, Amber.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Let me just start by saying I finished college at UW-Platteville. I started at Edgewood and Madison, but transferred because of my husband. And Platteville has an excellent middle-level program, and I'm certified 10 through 21 in English. And my problem was I ended up going to Green Bay to student teach because, again, of my husband. And I started out at the high school at Preble, which was huge and was a whole new experience. And then I went to the middle school, and I guess I feel that I understand the psychology very well because Platteville emphasizes that so much. But the content level for middle level, I feel was totally, it just wasn't present in my education. But it was more disheartening to go and student teach and find that a lot of teachers at the middle level have been grandfathered in because of DPI regulations, and they have no content background at all. You can have a teacher teaching middle school history who maybe has a background in special ed. So, yes, they have a knowledge of teaching, and they know how to get information across. They're able to go to the multiple intelligences and everything like that. But at the same time, now as a high school teacher, I currently teach high school seniors, which is a challenge in its own right, but I think that a lot of kids are missing the boat on content, and then they're struggling with, there's so much competition, there's so much advanced placement, and if they don't have that base at the middle level with content, the psychology undoubtedly is so important because they are a whole different group of kids.
I'm so glad you called. We haven't spent much time on content. What do we need certain kinds of regulations here, Peggy? Do you should you have had a major in whatever your subject matter is going to be, what you're teaching in middle school, or how are states dealing with that? How should we deal with that?
It seems that states under the new No Child Left Behind are asking that teachers have a major in the content area for being in the middle grade schools. But again, if they don't have it, what do? They need to go back to a university and take some additional content courses, and that is happening in some places. But a number of years ago, in about 2000 or so, there was a report from national level that 68% of the math teachers in middle grade schools had neither a major nor certification.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
The next highest group were people in some of the sciences with physical science. And there's been a controversy in the area of science because when you're at a university, you might specialize in physical science. But in a middle grade school, we offer earth science, life science, physical science. And so are you really prepared in those content areas? And often not.
Right.
So No Child Left Behind is pushing the notion considerably about content. But we, as middle grade advocates, would say it's not just content. There has to be the relationship with, well, I know my content, but then I also now know how to teach it for appropriately for young adolescents.
Yeah. Mary, weigh in on this.
Well, and I think that the universities have to know what's going on in schools and what's being taught at middle level in the area of science and math and social studies and English and reading so that they can gear the courses that they're having students take to match that. I know when I was going through college, I'm a history major. I'm Broadfield Social Studies licensed as well. And for my history major, I had to take one U.S. history course, one European history course, and then I could take a number of electives. And so I took things that I was really interested in, but they did not make me better for teaching middle school world geography.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think that the universities really need to work in conjunction with DPI and the schools themselves that they're sending teachers to make sure that the courses that they offer build the skills of teachers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as a teacher educator, and I've been at two different higher education institutions for probably 15 years or more, there is a real disconnect. Mary is right on target. Why aren't the university content people working with the state people who develop curriculum and the expectations of the schools so that their coursework preparing teachers includes that information?
Well, that's a good question. That seems to me as though it ought to be a given. How can it not work that way?
Well, you know, there are the state standards which list what yes. students do at 4th, 8th, and 12th grade, mm-hmm. except, you know, they're broad. And again, there's at the college level, there's all of these electives that you can take, and they may not match what you're going to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you look at organizational change, things change slowly, and it takes some years to align everything so that what the colleges do matches what the schools do, matches what
right.
DPI does.
I heard of an innovative program in Louisiana where the State Department said to the universities, this is the curriculum that we want to have students achieve in our K-12 schools. Your programs for preparing teachers need to address all of that so that when the students come out and they're going to teach in our schools, they fully understand mm. how to handle all of that. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
State by state by state.
Let's pause for a moment. We'll return. We're talking about middle schools this hour of the program. We have two guests with us. Peggy Gaskill is research chair of the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform. She has taught at the university level for a number of years and taught at the middle school level as well. Mary Washbush is a former middle school teacher. Her background is history. She is currently the literacy coach for Samuel Morris Middle School and MPS School. All right, back to phone calls in a moment. I got to pause here. We'll return. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls. Next hour of the program, we'll be talking about orphan trains. Dave from UW-Platteville is our next caller. Hi, Dave.
Hey, I just wanted to call to let you know that UW-Platteville has the only university-wide mission in the state for middle-level education, and therefore we, under the No Child Left Behind legislation interpreted by the state of Wisconsin, petitioned DPI to create an innovative license for 10 to 14-year-olds.
Great.
And we have 52 kids in our program, and we're very proud of them. But as part of their content, what they study is interdisciplinary. They have an interdisciplinary minor, which means that when they graduate, they can teach math, science, social studies, and language arts, or any combination of those out in the schools. One of the things that we're doing is taking our program out into actual middle schools so that our students will be there for the whole semester, Monday through Friday, in a school working with teachers, and then we'll teach our university coursework out in a middle school so that there's this direct connection. But one of the greatest obstacles we're finding is that even people that support us, principals that support us, want the flexibility across grade levels. In other words, they say, I want someone that could teach second grade and sixth grade at the same time. And what we're finding is that the kids that come to our program don't want that option. They want to teach specifically grades 5 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conundrum because the principals are saying we want greater flexibility. We say what we do is we offer flexibility across a grade level. In other words, you can teach multiple subjects when you come out of our program. And And this isn't due in part to the No Child Left Behind legislation, mm-hmm. because that comes out of the Elementary Secondary Education Act, and that name in itself doesn't recognize middle level at the federal level. And this is a big problem that we're finding even on the federal level, is middle level education has never really been recognized.
Mm-hmm. Peggy, you want to respond?
Oh, I certainly am glad to hear from you, because University of Wisconsin at Platteville has been known for a long time as having an outstanding teacher preparation program for the middle grades.
Mm.
But, as the gentleman said, it's the only one in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many teacher preparation institutions you have in Wisconsin, but I'm from Michigan, and we have one program for middle grades preparation and 33 institutions.
Oh,
and so it's not... it's not very widely practiced at the university level. But you're absolutely correct about policy and getting attention at higher levels. I would suggest that some of the work that the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform and the National Middle School Association conduct is in the area of advocacy and trying to get to the policymakers. We have an annual conference with the forum with the Schools to Watch initiative that I mentioned earlier, and it's in Washington, and we take our middle grades teachers to see their congresspeople and to talk to them about what they're doing in middle grades. It's just a constant, constant uphill, after 43 years of battle, to just get the recognition that this is a special group. Mm-hmm. And they need to have as much attention as our elementary classroom programs and our high school classroom programs.
Right. It's hard to figure out. Thanks, Dave, for your call, because we were all in middle school at some point. We know what it's all about, don't we?
Sure.
We know how hard it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. But I have worked on teacher certification issues, and one of the quotes in the New York Times article said that, based on my recent research, we have 46 of our states who have some kind of credential for the middle grades, but only 24 require it to be in a classroom. So there's a huge disconnect between taking that plunge to just what Dave said, to make it happen, to make it required.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that flexibility of hiring practices and moving people around in times of cutbacks in schools that becomes, some of our hardest groups to convince, or almost impossible, are human resources people, people who hire educators. And when you look at the different grade configurations that states offer in their certification, there are wild combinations, and there's lots of overlap. And sometimes our young people say, well, let me do this one because I could still do middle grades, but this will give me 8 grade ranges that I could find a job in.
Right. Let's go. We have time for maybe one more phone call. Mike from Mequon. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Kathleen. I want to compliment you for having this show, as well as Peggy and Mary. I'm president of the National Middle School Association.
Oh, you are?
And,
oh, great.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing? It's nice to hear your voice again, Peggy. And Mary, you're just down the road. I'm in Mequon, Thiensville School District, and you're down at Samuel Morris. And all I wanted to just say is, when Dave calls from Platteville, it's absolutely true that they're offering a wonderful program. What I find is there's a lot of variability in the pre-service training for teachers. We can do a great job with folks once we have them on board, but having them be not only highly qualified but highly effective is really key. I think sometimes folks fail to understand that there are 20 million early adolescents in the middle grades currently in our nation, and we need teachers that are best prepared to do that. And I'm glad, Peggy, that you mentioned National Middle School as well as National Forum. We work together
absolutely
in that area, and again, I just want to thank you for that. And I just want one other thing in regard to Title I funding. I don't know that most folks understand that 85 cents out of every dollar pretty much goes to the K-4 part of the operation, mm-hmm. with the remaining 15 cents for, say, grades 5 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, the grades 5, 6, 7, and 8 nationally are tested. They're the most heavily tested grades in regard to assessment. We need the right folks with the kids to do the best job possible.
Yeah,
right.
Hear ye. Thanks so much for listening. Well, this was a great hour. Thanks, Peggy and Mary, so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Peggy. Our guest, Peggy Gaskill, Research Chair of the National Forum to Accelerate Middle Grades Reform. Mary Washbush is a former middle school teacher, is currently the literacy coach for Samuel Morris Middle School, and has done a great deal of work in coaching forensics. In case you want to reference the article that got this show going, I think it was a front page, wasn't it, on Sunday's New York Times, The Critical Years for Teachers, Middle School is a Test of Wills. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee, and thanks everybody for listening. Copies of the show, call the radio store. The phone number is 800-747-7444, and the program number of this hour is 320-D. 320-D. We have news coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return with more Tuesday morning conversation, so please stay with us on the Ideas Network.